No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And Keith's not here this week. He's a grandpa.
He's a new grandpa.
Yeah, he's a new grandpa.
Four.
Oh, he is? Yeah. I thought this was the first. He has several.
This is eldest daughter's third one.
Okay, so it really doesn't mean squat. He has no excuse for not being here.
No, it's absolutely means something.
I'm just joking, of course.
You know,
first
Keith,
time ever.
Way more important than anything is family. That's true. You got to admire that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. All right. Yeah, what do you owe him, money or something? You're being so kind.
No, because you guys trash me when I'm not here. I'm not going to turn around and do the same thing to him.
You're trying to score brownie points.
No.
Next time you're not here.
I just am trying to, bring this show to a higher level. I know it's a long road.
Oh, brother. Look, we've been grounded for years. It just isn't going to change. But, hey, I appreciate the effort there, Ed. Okay. So we'll see what happens. We got some cool stuff to navigate as far as aviation news and information. However, to kick off today's virtual cruise, through the wild blue yonder, I have an old friend of mine who, Ed, you have not met, but his name is John Ropes. And John is on Just Plane Radio right now. John, welcome. How are you, buddy?
I am doing good, Greg.
Now, John was with me in Cuba a few weeks ago.
Oh,
we
cool.
talked about that little adventure. And John, believe it or not, Ed, is the one who's responsible for Just Plane Radio.
Oh, okay.
You thought you were.
I already don't like you, John.
Well, I told him he could take credit or blame.
Yeah. Okay, so you're the one that he went flying with and decided he could do this.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, it's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah. Well, at least, virtually.
Yeah. Through
FaceTime audio is what we got. John connected, in South Florida. That's where he is. And John has a plane. And, I was back in the day, I don't know, how many years ago was that? You figure five-ish, maybe, thereabouts, John?
At least, yes.
Yeah. And we had a trip over to Cape Eleuthera, the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And our buddy Neil Watson, the dive god, we like to call him on our sister show, Scuba Radio, knew John and another guy who were willing to fly over the Bahamas with us. And Neil calls me up and says, hey, you're going to fly with John. I'm going to fly with this other guy. And I was like, hey, that's cool. We can go on our own schedule. He goes, oh, yeah, you're going to love it. These guys are awesome. They're good pilots, and they'll fly us over there. And I think that's so swell. I'll go down to South Florida, sync up with them. And, I hadn't had a lot of rest that week. And I was like, that's perfect because I'll just get in the plane, take a nap, and I'll be good to go once we get over the Bahamas and that kind of thing. So I meet John. He's a real nice guy. See his plane. He says, yeah, come on, get on board. And he puts me in the co-pilot seat. And I'm getting situated. I'm adjusting the seat, and I'm putting on the seat belt and the harness and everything. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going to be the best angle to, snooze, on this plane? He says, okay, I'm going to need you to do this, look for that, and do this, this, and that. And I'm like,
good crew resource management.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? What do you? I thought I was going to be able to take a nap on this flight. What do you mean? And he kind of startled me, kind of like, well, what do you mean you want me to do what? I'm not a pilot. I don't know what the hell I'm doing up here. I'm just along for the ride. He goes, no, listen to me. You're going to do this, this. I was like, well, okay. All right. You're the captain. So, I started doing it, and I'm listening to what's going on in the headphones. And, of course, it sounds like a foreign language, but John seems to have a fairly good grasp of what's going on. And I'm watching him, and we start talking back and forth as he says, look out for other traffic. And, we're doing this, and he kind of explains a little bit of what he's doing. And I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of cool. I was like, we've been having this problem where we can't get to some of these destinations, especially in Florida. in the Bahamas from Florida quick enough. And having a private plane like this or a charter would be ideal, but maybe I could do this. How hard is it, John? He goes, look, can you drive a car? I was like, if I can do it, you can do it. Come on. And I was like, really? And I was like, okay. Well, we start talking more and more.
Hey, John, the jury's still out on that last part.
Well, he knows. I filled him in Cuba, and I'm still working towards that goal. But he started
me on
this.
Did you get the written test done?
Written test. What written test?
The FAA written test.
Yeah, of course. I did that a long time ago, several years ago.
Did you retake it again?
No. I have things I got
to
do.
I'm just doing this for Dennis because Dennis is not here to start badgering.
Well, he's gonna badger us before the show's out.
Yes.
Yeah, so fear not.
We get to gang up on you.
Yeah, but John, I had to go down into South Florida actually yesterday, and we did a little dive industry event. But I said, hey, come on the show today. Take blame or credit for Just Plane Radio, as you should, and tell us a little bit more about your plane. Because at the time, when we went through this whole process, and he inspired me to go on this journey to become a private pilot, and I hate you, John. No, I love it. I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I had no idea what kind of plane it was. I didn't even know the model, the thing. And now, after doing the show, we're familiar with it. It's a Cessna 182, and that's what he was telling me about in Cuba. And we talked about it on the air a couple weeks ago about some weird contraption he had on his plane to keep it flat. And it took us a few minutes, but we finally worked it out. It was a Canard. Canard. That's right.
Is that what you have, John?
Yeah, that's Canard.
Yeah, I've seen that STC on a bunch of 182s.
Yeah. So, but it's a unique...
Yeah, it's not common by all.
And John said that when we were in Cuba. He's telling me about this. I kind of have a special 182. So, first of all, explain. It's a 182. What kind of motor we got in that? And then give me the rundown there, John.
It's got a slightly larger engine. The stock is... is a 230 horse. This has got a 260 horse IO, and it's and the canard moves opposite the elevator. So as the elevator is pushing the nose up when you're taking off, the canard is pushing the nose down, so that it takes off like a helicopter, almost at a flat attitude.
How about that? But, have you ever heard of that, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the most important thing is for. When I was starting out like you, I was a low-hour pilot.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, low-hour pilots, try to line up on their base leg to the runway, and they overshoot it, and they say, oh, shoot, and they turn real quickly.
Now, hold on. I don't believe they say, oh, shoot.
But no, they don't.
Say what
I think he cleaned
the radio. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So,
good man.
and so that's that can be dangerous. But in this plane, it's not, because... it is impossible, aerodynamically impossible, to put the plane in a spin. A spin is when you lose lift on one wing, mm-hmm. and it literally spins. And you, at a low altitude, you can't recover, and that's not a nice landing.
What do you think, Ed? Ed has this look on his face like, I don't know, I can maybe do it.
No. He's right.
He's right.
At a low altitude.
Okay, I'm just not reading you well today, I guess.
No, you're not.
Okay, fair enough. All right, continue.
So, and it's got a true airspeed that's a little bit faster than the stock 182. Its true airspeed is about 146 knots. Hmm. And since I have the extended range bladders, it holds about 77 gallons, and so I can make it to places like Asheville or Myrtle Beach or whatnot from Birmingham,
South Florida, or whatever.
From South Florida. Yeah,
yeah.
And. It is a, you've flown it. It's an awesome plane.
Well, I barely remember the flight itself, honestly, because I was like kind of worried, like, hey, I got to pay attention. What's this? What's this do? What's going on here, And yeah. My head was on a stick, literally swirling around.
But the most important thing is not getting your pilot's license. That's like, literally, it's like a driver's license. You fly by the seat of your pants. And it was John Day, our friend that flew over to the Bahamas, that urged me to get a plane.
Mm-hmm.
He, whenever I have a farm up in Ocala, so every time I had a sale needed to get up there, I'd ask John if he'd like to go to a horse sale, and he'd say, yeah. And then I'd ask him if he would mind driving, which meant his plane.
Right.
And, finally he said, why don't you get your own damn plane? So, So we were talking just about this, what it takes to get your pilot's license. And he says, look, getting your pilot's license is easy. He said, but don't just do that. He said, the really hard part is getting your IFR rating.
Yep.
And I said, well, you know, I only got three instruments in the plane, three or four instruments. I said, how hard is that? And because they teach you, you know, how to use them. And he said, trust me, it's like going back to college. And it is.
Yeah.
And
well, and I didn't do very well in college, which maybe explains the fact that I'm not a private pilot yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But
I'm just trying to stretch out the adventure. It's all about the journey. You hear what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
He knows me oh too well. All right. Well, hold the line. I want to carry him over because this is cool stuff. It kind of refreshes things and puts me on a reset, you know, to get my pilot's license. I need more inspiration, Ed. You think?
We need something.
All right. We'll get to that next here on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly into the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a beach at first.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Captain Ed, and my buddy John, who kind of inspired Just Plain Radio back in the day, or to take credit or blame, depending on how he feels at a particular time. I'm still working on my pilot's license, so, but the fact that I'm pursuing it.
Define working. We call that a low speed lip.
Well,
style.
All right. Well, John knows I have a full plate of activities because he knows a little bit more about my diving than he does my flying.
Yeah,
and he knows I keep very, very busy. It is a full time job, just doing scuba diving all the time, right, John?
Yes. Yeah, terrible thing that you have to do. You got to fly to Cuba to go diving. You got to go to all these exotic places all over the world.
Yeah, I'm not feeling much sympathy there, but sounds more like accolades.
You do know where sympathy comes in the dictionary.
Where? No.
Yeah, you'll have to bleep me if I tell you.
Yeah? No, don't worry. That'll be too much work. don't go there. But anyway, I can only imagine. However, what I mean, this plane you have, the 182 that you have with your canard, which it's a, like a supercharged engine with a canard. That just sounds cool. You hear what I'm saying?
It's a hot rod.
Yeah. So it's kind of a souped up 182. What carrying capacity? What kind of weight can you do on this thing? Does it give you
more
weight?
It's a station wagon. If you can load it, you can fly it.
Yeah? What is the weight carrying, like, on a full tank of fuel? Do you know offhand or not necessarily?
You know, the last time I did a weight and balance, and I shouldn't say this on your radio.
Here we go. You might incriminate yourself.
Exactly.
So you just have so much room, you know, that and carrying capacity, you don't usually have to worry about it too much.
I can carry four large adults and their luggage and safely take off and land. So
very nice. And there are a few other little tidbits on there. You got like the whole electronic thing. I mean, I don't know what kind of display you had in your plane back in the day. Do you have it upgraded with that kind of stuff, like a G1000 or something, or what?
I have a Garmin 530.
Okay.
And I've hesitated to get the 1000 because the 530 is so good. It does everything that I want. It's got weather. We just loaded ADS-B on it. That's a ground-based radar. So we have that. Right. And NexRed, which is a satellite-based.
Mm-hmm. So you got it all tweaked out how you like it. And you got the toys on it. So obviously it's time to sell it and buy something bigger. Am I right?
No, a plane is like a boat. You have to figure out the mission.
Okay.
And, we say that all the time.
Is it a hotel? Is it a fishing boat? Is it, what is it? Is it a cruiser? Mm-hmm. And so if you can figure that out, and, my mission is having a farm that's about 260 nautical miles away.
Yeah.
So that's my mission, and rarely do I have more than two passengers in my plane. Oftentimes I fly by myself. So, occasionally I'll have the plane full, but so my mission, the plane fits the mission well.
I
was going to fly to Los Angeles, that'd be a different story.
Uh-huh.
I might want something a little faster,
You're zipping back and forth from South Florida in your horse farm. So you're doing that and doing some things up there, and, baling hay or whatever the hell you have to do with horses. But that's good. Do you have your own little grass strip there on your farm?
No, I have a big old international airport.
Well, okay.
10 minutes away.
All right, so you don't bother with that. But I bet you could. You probably got enough property.
You've been to that airport, Greg.
I have? Pardon?
Yeah, Greg's been to that airport.
Which one was it? What was it again?
Ocala. Did solo cross country there.
That's the one I stopped off and had a sandwich?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So that, heck, we should have worked our schedules out so you could have saved me, or would have had a backup plan. But no, okay, so it's that place with the little diner, small little airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that small. It's got a big runway. It's about 8,000 feet.
Well, okay. Well, that's why you sent me there. Understood. But, do you have enough property where you could set up your own little grass strip if you wanted, or you just never bothered with that?
There's a grass strip right around the corner from me.
Yeah.
And I could do that, but, it's, I like flying into an airport, and if I need something, I can fuel there, and it's always a courtesy to do that. I don't need it. I can fly back and forth a couple of times on a full tank of gas, but,
It gives you a little bit of the social outlet to check in with the folks there, I guess, too, right?
Yeah. They're
very friendly people and in that neck of the woods.
Known the ground people there for years, even though they've changed names from Landmark to now Shelter, but they're all the same people, and they take care of the plane and
move
it for me. So.
So is that what you're doing? You're just zipping back and forth between South Florida and Ocala?
I still go to the islands.
You have been bouncing back and forth. Now, back when we did it, we didn't have, I guess we did have a bunch of issues with customs and things like that, but I was totally oblivious to all that. Did you have a ton of paperwork then?
And not as much as there is today.
Yeah, it's even worse now, huh?
Yeah, they put a new layer on called EAPUS. It's the government just trying to help, right?
Yeah, of course.
So you have to file an international flight plan. You got to let customs know when you're coming in. So that's two parts of the agency.
Right.
And I was in North Eleuthera once when it went active. And I called customs to tell them I'll be in at 10 o'clock at FXE in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, great. And they said, well, wait a minute. I don't see your EAPUS number.
Uh-oh.
And I said, what's an EAPUS?
Yeah.
And
wrong
I could hear
answer.
Him in the background.
Yeah.
I heard him in the background say, we got a live one here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm
he
sure.
Said, it just went live this week. You have to have it or you can't bring your plane back.
So what did they and say? I, well, then I'm number one. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, well, can I take that number? That I was an American citizen and my plane was registered in the U.S. and I'm coming back.
Okay.
And he said, okay.
Well, hey, how does that work? You're the pilot in command. Can't you pull that? You can try it, I guess.
But, yeah, they technically could fine you. I think at the time it was $5,000, but I got away with a letter of warning.
Uh-huh.
So EAPUS is another layer that you have to put on. I said, what happens if you have to change, you know, you add a person or delete a person or change the time you're going to leave? Because it has to be very exact.
Yeah.
He says, well, you just jump on the internet. And I said, well, the internet in the Bahamas is not always active.
Exactly.
Especially what island you're going to. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, that's your problem. And
of course.
If you got a problem, call back to the U.S. and have somebody else go on to the internet and put it on for you. So, again, okay. It's the government just trying to help.
Well, there you go.
Know, as much as they can.
So get a sat phone that has internet service. Well, yeah, that's what you got to do.
Didn't we talk about this a couple weeks ago when Keith was coming back from Bahamas and diverted was scheduled into Miami, had to divert it.
I vaguely remember
originally
this,
going to go to Fort Pierce. So his EAPUS went to Fort Pierce. So then coming out of or getting ready to leave Nassau, he calls me up and asks me to change it to Miami because the weather looked better in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And then ended up diverting into Fort or Lauderdale. They were not happy with him, but he worked it out.
Yeah,
and they didn't get fined.
Well, they're never happy with anyone, Mark. That's just what they do.
It's a government agency.
Yes, exactly. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. And how you like that? How you like John?
Oh,
he was
cool.
Kind of like Ed and Keith before I met you guys. He was like my first introduction into the aviation world.
As I said, I don't know whether I should love him or hate him.
Yeah, well, I think you made that pretty
what
clear.
What did you get us into?
You don't like him. But, no, cool guy.
Yeah.
And he has cool toys.
It sounds like he's got a cool airplane.
Would you like a plane like that? 182
there's
supercharged?
There's not a single airplane that I wouldn't like to have.
Yeah. Well, this guy has his own English pub, too.
His own English pub?
Yeah. He actually had an English pub in England. It was tore down and disassembled and moved to the United States and put into this house that he now owns. So he has his own private island, a plane. He has his own Irish or English. It's an English pub.
See, that's not as impressive as an Irish pub.
He has invited us to come down and do the radio show from his English pub
in
South Florida. So, we may have to do that. And maybe we'll talk about his plane, too. But John's a cool guy, as are most pilots, and that's the neat thing about doing the show. You meet very interesting people.
Yeah.
Like John, and obviously he has quite a story and a life, but he loves aviation. He loves scuba diving, and obviously I know a little bit more about his diving thing, and that's what we did in Cuba. But we ended up on our surface interval in between dives. Sure, we talked a little bit about the diving, but we were talking about his plane. Like, hey, what was that plane you took me over to Cape Eleutheran? Next thing you know, he's telling me about his canard and all this stuff, and we're talking more about planes than we are scuba diving.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
That's the way it goes,
man. That's right. It's all a passionate thing that we love to do, which is flying, and in my case, and you got to get someplace, and when you land, you have to do stuff, and I'll go scuba diving and things like that.
Yeah,
maybe a little boating too.
Yeah,
yeah, but I do like the plane.
Oh yeah.
Now that I know what it is,
yeah, I think I was about to say that. I remember when we started talking about it, you couldn't remember if it was 172 or 182.
I said, when you fly up from South Florida, pick me up in Orlando, and I'll head out to the farms and bale some hay. Shovel some. Well,
yeah, that stuff.
Let's keep it with the hay.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And so I'm flying so high, high off the ground, when you're around.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. We're your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right. So, did you see this story, Ed, about the about Lucky Lindy, the airplane in the Smithsonian?
No, I didn't. What's
well, okay. So it's been on the roof, hanging from the roof, from the
From the ceiling. Yeah,
yeah, from like what 100 years now, or I don't know.
Not
well,
years.
You know, many years.
He flew over there in what 20?
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever.
Or so.
But, yeah,
but it's been in the Smithsonian for
a lots of years.
Long time.
And they decided it was time, I guess, last year to do a refurb or at least check up on some of the exhibits. And they've opened up a new aviation sector, and they were having that plane as one of the things. So they needed to check it out, making sure it was holding up well, whatever, and that kind of thing. So they take it down from the ceiling, and they actually found a few things that was new about the Charles Lindbergh airplane. And one was so they, you know, they're looking at the fabric because it's one of those fabric covered wooden structure type deals, right? And I don't know how they found it, but they noticed something in the bottom of it, covered with dust, and it ended up being a pair of pliers. Initially, they thought when they saw it that it was from the airplane maker, you know, and it had put
left
something.
Yeah, left something. That happens when you're building airplanes. Tools get left in.
Exactly. But it ends up, they looked at it closer and blew the dust off and realized, hey, wait a minute. No, this was something that from the toolkit for the airplane that Lindbergh may have dropped, and it fell into this crevice that couldn't really be reached, I guess, back in the day when they first, you know, did this refurb or set it up for the museum. And they said, yeah, you know, this thing vibrates quite a bit, and he was probably down there trying to tighten something on his trip and dropped the pliers down and went down between the seats or whatever, someplace he couldn't get.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so they found
That's cool.
So they thought, hey, that was pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, you know, the first time they put this up in the Smithsonian, the refurbished folks, I think the last name was Cusack and some other guy, he had a reputation for leaving little hidden notes after they would do a project on one of these things, you know, almost like a, you know, hidden Indiana Jones type tidbit for generations later to find it. Because he knew that, you know, after 100 years of being in this, someone would have to come down and do another refurb on this plane.
Yeah.
And so they discovered that he had left a note under the floorboard in the cockpit.
Oh.
And it was kind of like, hey, I was here, and dated it, the whole thing. And I guess this guy from back in the day used to do this for airplanes.
Yeah.
Did it quite a bit. Yeah. So he's left all these little hidden nuggets for people to find in the future, and they found one on Lucky Lindy.
Cool.
So they, you know, a couple little, I think there was another one too, but it's up there on, you know, just Google it, or it's AOPA. You know, you can find the story on that, but it's very interesting. I mean, it'd make me want to go to the Smithsonian and see this.
Yeah.
And say, hey, can I see the note, please? Can you lower that down so I can
drop it down? I want to climb it.
Where were the pliers exactly? Yeah. I don't know if this will be part of the main story of their presentation of that particular plane, but,
you know, it might be at least a footnote.
Well, aviator enthusiasts, I think, can appreciate a story like that. And you were just in the area where
I was just in San Diego last week, which is where Ryan Aircraft were at and where they built the airplane.
Right. Well, it was the Spirit of St. Louis, right? Or no, is that a different thing? Or
no,
is
it's Spirit of St. Louis.
Yeah.
And the reason it was named Spirit of St. Louis had to do with the people that were funding the project.
Oh.
They were St. Louis businessmen.
Don't tell them that we actually built it in San Diego.
Yeah, no, but you know, he contracted the Ryan Aircraft Company, which is based in San Diego, and he stayed there while they built it. He helped them build it and design it. And
well, not a whole lot goes into those back in the day.
Well, no, actually, there was quite a bit of revolutionary
wood,
design
and
in this airplane.
Stretch a bunch of cloth over the wood.
Well, no, a little bit more than that.
It's like one of these little handheld gliders, and they just put like cloth over it, like jeans, and stretched jeans over the top of it.
No, but they had to watch the weight so he could get the maximum amount of fuel in to make it across the ocean.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That was all considered when they're making it. But they actually have a replica, not an actual one, but a replica of it hanging in the terminal at the San Diego airport.
Well, is it? Wasn't there one at Air Venture? Isn't there one?
Yeah, there's a replica up there that
right,
was,
yeah,
that was
we saw that.
Built and flown around for... a tour in the what that was probably in the 80s and
the one in Air Adventure
yeah,
Museum
and so that was actually flown around the country.
Okay.
And it actually came to the airport in Streeter where I was growing up, and we went out and saw it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well yeah, it was cool, and I remember seeing it there. So that's a replica, and there's another one over there, and then
yeah.
The original's in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Oh, you know what, I know what the other thing they found was, evidently when they made the airplane Or something, it says something in the story about there's a little tube in the fuel tank or something that slipped in there, mm-hmm. and they had to get it out, so they couldn't get it out once they had made the fuel tank, so they had to cut a hole in it,
mm-hmm.
the fuel tank, to get that hose out, and mm-hmm. then they had to repatch it.
Yeah.
And the hole actually started leaking, so mm-hmm. on his trip, he lost oil, or it was not the fuel, it was an oil pan, I guess.
Okay.
And they lost fuel, and they said, you know, you could see where it had been re-soldered or, you know, refitted or plugged or whatever. And
oh, cool.
So they see this story. They knew the story, but they actually went back and they could see, oh, hey, that's what
see evidence of it.
They tried to fix it, and
yeah.
He was indeed lucky because, you know, flying a plane that's leaking oil from the main oil reservoir, probably not a ideal situation.
No, not especially not over open ocean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But he made it. He made history. And there you go. You got the story behind the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you were out there in San Diego, what were you doing exactly?
Well, I was attending the annual Cessna Pilot Center conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so going over some new ground school product stuff that King Schools trotted out for us. Great new iPad app for that.
Yeah.
And
it was all about teaching then.
Well, you know, it's also about business. It, you know, it's business development.
But
know.
It's not about any of the planes. Like,
well,
no.
Are
they going to start stocking all new Cessna 182s with canards?
Nope. They're not going to do that.
Why? That
I don't
sounds
know.
Like something you should have.
Well, they're not pushing the outside of the envelope, shall we say.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
trying to do what they've done for years, and
yeah.
And
well,
they're doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, that we got into some product knowledge about the equipment, but
mm-hmm.
you know, how to market our businesses and big section on the airman certification standard, which we've been talking about here for a while.
Yeah.
Finally it was implemented here just actually literally the week before I went out there.
Yeah. Well, what's the you know, what's the scuttlebutt on that? How are the other, you know, training folks feeling about, you know, the rollout?
Well, not too many people are happy with the end product right now.
Yeah.
Because the main reason they are changing it was to clean up the written test and give us course codes that are easy for the examiner to identify where the weakness was, so they can give a better test for what was called and still is technically the practical test.
What the oral part? Where
the oral and flight portion.
Tell them.
Flight portion.
Yeah.
But,
explain what
but
you know.
We found out in this meeting that they're not going to change the test codes for 12 to 18 months on the written test. When you go take the test, you're still going to get the old codes. So it kind of defeated the purpose of why they're doing it. And we heard earlier in the year that it was going to be pushed off till next year at least. And then all of a sudden in mid-May, it's like, oh, it'll be out in mid-June.
Well, so the old codes are what, too broad or something? They're not.
It's very hard for the examiner to narrow it down and go ask questions on it. He has to have like three books to do it. Whereas with this, it has one document, and the code based on that document will lead them in the PTS to the exact subject matter that the question was missed,
yeah.
and allows them to ask that question.
All right, so it make it more streamlined for the.
For the testing process.
Yeah, for the examiner.
Yeah, and it's the first time we've had knowledge test standards, and so that's a good thing. And so it is good for the industry because it has cleaned up the written test, and a lot of those, like when you took it, they had the NDB question, so you had to memorize the formula, magnetic heading plus relative bearing equals magnetic bearing 2.
Are you speaking Spanish?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see you still remember that equation. But we told you then, memorize it, because you're never going to fly this instrument.
Right.
So those type of questions have been removed. So there's good that's come out of this ACS movement. But the last-minute implementation has left the industry a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Talking just today to some pilot examiners, and I asked them how much training they had on it, and not much.
Yeah.
And so it's unfortunately, I think the cart got before the horse again.
Yeah, they rolled it out too quick.
Yeah.
A government program actually came out sooner than it should have.
Yep.
What the hell's wrong? It's like an oxymoron or something, or definitely the second part of that. I think we got it down.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Exploring underwater wrecks are one of the coolest things you can do as a diver. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why they can also be the most challenging next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The allure of an underwater shipwreck is undeniable, and most are easily explored from the outside. However, as inviting as a wreck may seem, never enter an underwater structure without proper training and orientation. When anything obstructs your direct path to the surface, the mastery of additional diving skills are needed to mitigate the risks. Get properly trained before boarding the ship. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high. It take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply. Bye.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed. We're rapping. Got our hands in the air, waving them like we just don't care. And
I think
in the nick of the time before it gets way out of control.
I think people that know me know better that wasn't happening.
What are you talking about? Of course, don't lie. Don't be ashamed of your musical tastes. Dennis is here, though, to save us from ourselves.
Thank you, Dennis.
How are you, buddy?
You're welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome. And well, so we're going to talk to Dennis here in just a bit, but I want to get back before we bring him into the world of aviation with us. This museum that you were out there as well, you did your little thing. And then
we had the seminar. And San Diego's a huge Navy town.
Mm-hmm.
And in the harbor, literally just about three blocks down from the hotel we were staying at, is an aircraft carrier named the USS Midway.
Yeah.
And
I saw the movie.
Yeah, but no, it's an aircraft carrier named in honor of the Battle of Midway.
Ah, okay.
But it was not in the Battle of Midway. It wasn't commissioned.
It
was not commissioned until after World War II.
Okay.
But it was decommissioned, I want to say, in the late or 70s or early 80s, mm-hmm. and it's now serving as a museum. You
cool.
can tour it, and my son and I actually camped out on one in Charleston. It was called the Yorktown, so it's not my first time in a museum like this, but the Cessna organization, Textron Aviation, had a cocktail party and dinner after the seminar on the aircraft carrier.
So, really? Like out on the flight deck or something?
On the flight deck.
Nice.
And, you know, so I've got tons of pictures from the top of the deck of the carrier. They had an F-18, couple F-4s, an F-14, bunch of the helicopters, A-7 Corsair, F-8 Crusader, all staged like they were ready to launch and stuff like that. So, you know, I went down to the bow of the ship and took a picture back down the deck. And you might remember this. We did talk about this one time that our good friend Doug, who used to work for us, has always had this dream of, you know, if he like won a buku bunch of money, he would buy an old aircraft carrier, refurbish it, and turn it into a cruise ship, and he would sail it between Europe and the States. And he says, you know, you'd bring a bunch of pilots and their airplanes into Norfolk, train them how to land on the carrier, then have them fly out 100 miles to the carrier, rendezvous with the carrier, land the airplane. Then we take the airplanes, put them on the hangar deck, and cruise over to Europe, you know, and get to Europe. They would get out, launch off the carrier deck, go fly around Europe for a week or two, come back, land on the carrier, and come back.
So you were on the carrier, and you're thinking,
I'm looking at the down the length of the deck, and I'm thinking, saying, oh, hell, this is easy.
Oh, really? You thought it was plenty of runway?
Oh, there's plenty of runway. It's 1,000 foot long, and it's going to be traveling 30 to 40 knots into the wind. So if you have a 10-knot wind, a carrier going 30 knots into the wind, that's like having a ground speed of 40 knots. So you would be hovering in, coming in, because that's you're landing at that speed.
Yeah.
You have to actually probably add power to get to the deck.
How about that? What do you think, Dennis? Would you do that?
In a heartbeat.
I don't see who wouldn't. And it's like, yeah. Somebody's like, well, the insurance one's covered. And I said, no, you just make this absolute, you know, ironclad, you know, hold harmless agreement.
No, it doesn't matter.
Saying that I don't care how much this could hurt me. I want to do it.
Well, you're on a boat. You're in international waters. So there are no rules.
True.
See? Ooh. You don't have to worry about that nonsense, this old legal mumbo jumbo. It's the laws of the sea.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I'm looking down the deck saying, you know, yeah, this really could work. I just, you know, it's like, what kind of money would that take?
Well, you said buku bucks, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're talking, buku. I don't know
Bill
if the
Gates
power,
bucks.
Yeah, I don't think the Powerball's big enough to afford to do this.
Yeah, I think that's even out of John's, you know, price range, even though he has an English pub in his home.
Yeah.
And my aircraft carrier, who knows? You have to get one that's been, like, just retired and decommissioned.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You get a retired, decommissioned one,
a
diesel-powered one, you know, so it's no different than operating a cruise ship. You know, it can house more people than the cruise ship. I mean, I think they had a crew of 6,000.
Well, you got all that deck space,
and it would be, and you could build it as the world's largest cruise ship.
True, you could have a lot of basketball courts and things too.
Oh,
you know, for you know, on boat activities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't know. Water
and yeah,
slide.
you'd have to have some real helicopters on board with real rescue pilots and divers. So if something does go wrong, they can fish you out.
Well, who knows? Maybe somebody listening right now has those bucks that we so much desire.
And the other
and
thing
take
is on the cruise over, if you had a good weather day, okay, hey, well, it's a flying day.
Yeah.
Send, you know, the pattern is active, and send people, and you do touch and goes around the carrier.
Yeah. That would be fun. That actually does sound kind of cool. Yeah. Maybe it could be done. Ed, you got an idea.
Two Whiskey Romeo, call the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a cruise I would even want to do.
Yeah.
I don't really like to do a lot of them. But this would be a very unique spin, for sure.
Because think about it. The other thing is you're on the boat with a bunch of pilots.
Right.
Think about what the cantina on the ship would be like with a bunch of pilots who are, you know,
yeah,
on their way to Europe to fly around Europe.
That would be
and the
quite
stories
impressive.
That would be told.
You know, the $100 price tag on the hamburgers might be a bit much, but hey, yeah, just trying to go with the flow.
I think at that point, once you figure out how much this is going to cost, food's going to be free, like the cruise ship.
Yes.
One fee takes care of it all.
Yeah. How are you justifying this? Well, they get that midnight chocolate buffet thing that we can gorge ourselves on, you know, when we're not flying.
Yeah.
And that's how we'll justify the cost. So there you go. You went out to California and you were supposed to learn something about flight training, and instead you came up with an idea to buy an aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
good on you. Good on you, Ed. See, my influence on him is starting to rub off.
Ah, God, I hope not.
That'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.